A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Matchball 30, sponsored by Calidus, leading consultants in health and safety, project management, asset management, environmental services and training. Visit wearecalidus.com for more information.
The Matchball.
Welcome to the show. The Matchball 30 is a journey through the 1991-1992 season, 30 years on. Dan, Michael and Moscow on the journey with you. And in the pop charts, as predicted, Michael Jackson, the amazing video for Black or White, not enough to keep him on the number one spot. Elton John, George Michael, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
Coming to Leeds next year, Elton John?
No way.
That's what they reckon. That's what they reckon in the YEP.
Where can he possibly play in Leeds?
Roundhay Park. 90,000 people might be there. That's what they're saying anyway. It's not confirmed yet.
But bottom of the hill.
Him and Eric Clapton, apparently.
On the cricket pitch. Cuts that cricket pitch up every time, doesn't it?
Alternative universe. It could have been Leeds United playing there. It's going to be end of the 1940s. They wanted to build a stadium and move Leeds United there. So we could have had 90,000 people watching us play against Spurs instead of... Who were they talking about playing there?
Elton John and Eric Clapton.
I mean, Van Halen got 90,000 there in September. I'm not sure those two are going to be quite the same draw as Van Halen, Skid Row and Metallica. That's a bill.
Could you imagine Leeds United playing in the centre of a park? The fun and games and disorder that could happen in the middle of a giant park. Trying to police that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
I don't think the residents of Roundhay would take kindly to it either.
No, is it best left where it is, do you think?
It's a very nice area, isn't it, Roundhay?
Well, we're getting a magnificent new East Stand anyway, so we don't need to worry about moving to the park, whether now or in the past. It's not going to happen anymore, is it? Talking about disorder, we have got Man United three times in the Christmas New Year period. It starts on the 29th of December, which is the televised game at Elland Road, which probably kicks off now. It's probably been moved again to 3 minutes to 4 o'clock to suit the TV schedule. Sick of the TV taking over, honestly. But we've got them in the cups again as well. It's like a deja vu from last season.
It's the game you look forward to when you're getting promoted, isn't it? It said, oh, we can get to play scum again. But not this much.
Too much.
This is too much. Well, unless we win them all, then it'll be good fun. Yeah. But as it is, this looks a bit too much.
Mm. It's a little bit like Arsenal in the FA Cup last season when we played them 20 times. Just once.
I think we're still playing them, aren't we? So how can we have Man United in this year's cup when we're still playing those replays against Arsenal?
Still ticking over. At least the schedule means we're just getting it all out of the way in like 10 days. So it's not going to drag on too much.
It's the fault of Donald Trump, this as well. You see that guy, that billionaire guy from America.
Is he a billionaire?
Something like that, I've heard.
He's quite rich.
I think he tells people he is. Anyway, he's got that Trump tower, hasn't he? And anyway,
he's a billionaire. He could afford a better wig.
Fair point. But St. and Greasy did their show there and Donald Trump did the cup draw for this, which is a bit crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all trying to tie it in with the World Cup being held there in 1994, so it's all, woo, soccer. Yeah. I don't think this Trump fellow really knew what the hell he was doing. I don't think Satan Greavesy knew who he was. I don't think he knew who Satan Greavesy were, and he certainly looked quite bemused when he pulled our names out of the hat with scum and everybody started making a big deal out of it.
I'm sure we'll never hear from him again anyway. We've got the FA Cup as well. January 5th, we've been drawn out for that, as it is the traditional place in the calendar, first week of January. It's a lot of scum. It's just a lot of scum for one post-festive period, because you get miserable, don't you, after Christmas, like heading into January blues. Do you want to see all those knobheads?
When we're out of both cups and further behind them in the league.
Mind you, if we do go out of both cups, there might be a blessing in disguise in that they will get caught up with those and we can just concentrate on the league after that.
It does bring everything to kind of to a bit of a sharp point, because our league title challenge up to now hasn't really felt real. We've been playing really well and winning loads of games and always in the top two, and went top of the league for the first time since, you know, the year dot. But there's still just been that assumption that we're not going to win the league. But now when you put us into this sort of head-to-head with them lot in three games in three different competitions, and it's us two at the top of the league, it suddenly feels now like, well, we've got to win the treble, haven't we? to make the most of this, or at least we've got to knock them out of everything. I mean, with it being the 25th anniversary of Scum last winning the league and them being, you know, champions presumptive this season so that they can just get over that. Everybody's handed them the league title basically before it started. Stopping them from winning anything would actually be enough, yeah. I think. So if we can knock them out of the two cups,
fine.
And then I'll gladly, we don't have to win them, but we can go out in the next round if we want to. But then to win the league ahead of them, it now feels like a target, something we should actually try to do instead of something that we just sort of seem to be doing.
It has, you're right.
Naturally.
It's put it into sharp relief, hasn't it, this? And we'll find out what we're made of. 5th of January is the FA Cup tie, and then the League Cup quarterfinal is just 3 days later on the 8th with an 8:06 kickoff of all time.
Not a second earlier or later.
And it's going to be on the telly, but only Yorkshire and Granada regions, isn't it? Which is us and Manchester, which I'm not sure about because they don't have any fans over there, do they?
Well, maybe if you point your aerial north from the home counties, you'll be able to get a picture.
There's been more arguments. It's starting to get fractious with these lot, isn't there? Because they're already demanding their 25% allocation for both of the cup games. Because we were trying to give them like 2,500 for the Rumbelows Cup, the same as we gave them in the league. But they're saying, no, we want the full amount. It's going to end in trouble, isn't it? That's the problem. There's such a lot of bad blood between the both clubs.
And we're having to move season ticket holders around because they're going to have some of our family section just to accommodate them. I don't think we should let them. It's the long and short of it, but I think we're going to have to.
I mean, the problem was last season when we played them in the Rumbelows Cup semi-finals, all the posh tickets we gave them ended up being sold in pubs in Manchester. So all our finest West End luxurious seats were taken up by Manx thugs. Mm. And it ended badly. They found some people from Leeds who wanted to fight them. And that wasn't good.
No, that wasn't.
So
no,
that's
not good
sets,
for the game.
That sort of sets the scene for why this is now a problem. And especially, I don't know how much resentment can build up over the course of 10 days, whether if everybody gets hospitalised after the league game and then it's all peaceful for the two cup matches, or whether it's just going to build and build and build until...
Looks like a field hospital by the time the last game comes around. People with bandaged eyes and slings and going to the game on crutches.
It's interesting seeing like Alan Roberts has spoken to the YEP as well, asking people not to sing about Munich, which if anything is drawing attention to the fact that people probably would have sung about Munich anyway and now will double down on it.
Yeah, Leeds fans don't particularly take well to being told what to do.
No.
But you never know. It might work.
The upside to all these cup games is money, isn't it? We mentioned, I think it was in one of the last couple of games, that we get 145 grand for the televised league game. We get 60 grand for the FA Cup game. Plus ticket revenue. Evening Post reckon that three games are going to be worth about 700 grand to Leeds United. That's quite a lot of money, isn't it?
And Fotherby's bound to be doing some upselling somewhere off the back of it. Well, I can, if you can buy a sponsor board as well, I can get you sort you out the tickets for this. He's always looking for an edge, isn't he?
Wheeling and dealing. Bless him. And today's matters at hand then. We've got Spurs back at Elland Road. I'm still not over last year, the whole Imre Vardy thing.
He was onside, wasn't he?
He was onside, yeah, and it's stuck with me as this one. It feels like an injustice was done. So, you know, we were looking for Leeds to right this wrong today. Lineups: Lukic in goal. We got Sterland, Dorigo, Batty, McClelland is in, Chris White, Strachan, Wallace, Chapman, McAllister, Speed, with Schutt and Hodge on the bench. That'll be McClelland in because of the suspension to Chris Fairclough.
The wrongful suspension.
Yes, for the alleged, what was it, a stroke behind the ear?
The London-based official has resulted in him missing the Spurs game. I mean,
his old club as well. It was going to be a bit of a grudge match for him. He joined us from there when they had never got the best out of him. We certainly have.
They're having a beast, Gary Mabbott, at the back instead. So
we'll come to that. Let's not fat shame them. It's not the done thing. Eric Toltzvet in goal for them. Pat Van Den Howe, Terry Fenwick. We've got Gudny Bergson, fat bastard Gary Mabbott, Paul Allen, Paul Stewart, Paul Walsh, Vinny Samways, David Howells, Gordon Drury, with the substitutes Naeem and Steve Sedgley. Do they have two managers? What's this nonsense about Peter Shreves and Terry Venables? Why do you need two?
And a lot of foreigners. What's going on there?
Well,
Terry Venables is like technically involved in, he's like manager / chief exec / his business dealings are beyond me, and I'm sure it's all fine. It's not us who have to worry about it.
No Lineker though, anyway.
No, he's not played in a couple of weeks. His son George has got leukemia, so he's still not travelling. I think he has been training again this week, apparently, but he's decided not to travel north because it'd be quite a long time away from home.
Christ, a hell of a lot of change as well with the whole Japan move coming up and all that for Lineker. So hopefully everything's all right with that one. Right, we haven't been able to train properly in the run-up to this one because the weather's been shite. Rubbish. Could someone sort that out?
Yeah, Wilco wasn't pleased, but we've been training at Fernville Sports Village because that's not piss wet through.
Plus, if I've heard the rumours, if the rumours are to be believed.
But it's hard and slippy, apparently, which sounds nice.
Ah, shit happens sometimes, doesn't it? Hopefully we've got enough in the tank to do this today.
But yeah, Wilco has used it as a way to complain about we had better facilities, a bit like other big clubs like Arsenal, Manchester United and Everton, then maybe.
Well, when we get the magnificent newest stand sorted out, we've got more capacity, more ticket revenue, they can maybe think about, you know, doing something with Fulham Park, put something on that.
It just needs a proper pitch down, doesn't it? It's a bit of a bog. And yeah, it's too often that if there's a hint of rain or cold, it becomes almost unplayable, which I don't think Batty has a problem. He'd quite happily just stay indoors, but the rest of them want to get out, and it's good to be able to practice. I know that much about football management.
I think they say, was it practice makes perfect, isn't it? Well, we didn't get the perfect result today. 1-1 draw, but still unbeaten. We've been unbeaten in about, 10 games or something daft now. We're only one defeat all season, so it's not too bad. Chances for both sides in this one. Do you think we maybe just slightly the better side?
Yeah, and it's one of they're at the stage where a draw feels somehow a little bit disastrous. Just because it was easier last season when there wasn't the same pressure. We weren't in a title race last year, and it was kind of fun and new. Now all of a sudden you're like, oh, can't afford to drop points. Even though it's a decent point against Spurs. Spurs are really good on the road as well. They've won 7 of their away games so far. So they were never going to be an easy team.
Some of the games they've won, though, that's the thing. They're a really weird bunch. They're 13th at the moment, and kind of you're wondering why they're so far down the table when they are actually, you know, they can win all those games away from home, and they have decent players.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't trashed them now. Saying when they were down in 15th a couple of weeks ago, it's just because they haven't played the games, wasn't it? Making out like they're rubbish. They're not rubbish, they're actually all right. And they'd probably say that a draw was a fair result from this, even though we would probably want to say we should have shaded it. However, right, the story of the game, what happened? Chances?
Nothing major in the opening stages, but McAllister had on from 30 yards that was pretty much straight at Torsven. And then there was one with Chapman and Speed both going for a cross that they both, I'm not even sure we got a touch on it really, but someone did, and it went just wide.
Dangerous ball from Mel, though. The sort of thing that we like to see, the thing we do best.
You'd think Speed would know to just leave those alone. That's Chapman's domain. We saw it against Aston Villa. Those crosses are meant for Chappie. Speedy, stay out of the way.
Gordon Jury, old jukebox, managed to get in behind our defence, and John Lukic came out. We did well, actually, didn't he, to close him down like that and block the shot. So, I mean, trading chances and all that, but they got that chance 19 minutes in and, twats.
Did it even go in? I don't think this is a goal.
It's not clear, is it, at first? It does. It hits the stanchion, doesn't it? And then
sort of bounces around.
Then bounces out. But it's fanning about that causes them to score this goal. Dorigo puts in a really good tackle on this Paul Walsh down in the kind of the left-back position right in the corner.
He has to point at the ball, though, to make it clear that he absolutely got the ball.
And the referee has... Yeah. I don't know if Chris White is expecting a free kick to be given, but when the ball ends up with Chris White, he seems somewhat surprised by it and then tries to give it back to Dorigo, and it gets nipped off his toe, and then the cross goes in, and we're a bit unlucky again because Sterling actually gets a decent foot on the cross, but it just deflects it straight onto Howells' head, who is essentially heading into an open goal.
Bounces off Howells almost, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it just
no technique there,
bounces
no skill.
Off his dreadful head into the goal.
I think it's Sterling's deflects it onto Lukic, whose save then sends it onto Howells' head, and then Howells heads it. I mean, people will say it's in the net.
John Lukic didn't think so, did he?
He tried.
If it was in the net, why would John Lukic go there and grab the ball and say so securely? And you can see Mel Sterland.
He's cuddling that ball.
And Mel Sterland is waving his hand saying, no, that's not gone in. So I believe our players. I don't know why the Spurs players are jumping around celebrating as if they've done something. It was all a bit daft. I don't know what Dorigo and White really were on about. Dorigo needs to play to the whistle. Not try and be the referee himself. I don't know what the point is of pointing at the ball and saying, I got the ball, but then not going to get the ball. Because that's the thing. Paul Walsh has got up, not worried about whether he was fouled or not, and just gone and got the ball while Dorigo's standing there going, I've just made a really, really good tackle. Well, go get the ball then.
Yeah.
And then I think Chris White is confused because why is Dorigo standing and pointing at the football instead of going to get the football?
I'll get it then. Well, yeah. It's kind of how
you can. You can almost see them thinking about it, can't you? Oh, God, it's gone wrong.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sadly, 0-1. But to be fair to Leeds, responded, broke the goalie's nose.
We didn't. It was his own player.
Well, he was asking for it by saving things, wasn't he?
Rod Wallace was our nearest man to it, and Rodney couldn't hurt anyone. Wouldn't hurt anyone, would he?
But he probably couldn't. I mean, we saw him jump quite high.
Was it steamroller Mabbott?
We saw him jump quite high for that volley against Everton, but it would take some effort for Rod Wallace to reach Eric Tosford's nose. He'd need to stand on his twin brother's shoulders, maybe, and headbutt him.
In a long coat.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, because it was Sterling crossed to Wallace for whatever reason. Lack of talent, ability, skill. Stuart and Tortsvet clatter into one another, and they reckon he might have a broken nose, but no one's busy diagnosing that, are they? They just crack on with the game.
Fairness, he seems fine. He gets up, he tips a really good shot around the post. Mind you, he does then drop across and we score from it. So maybe he's not fully recovered.
Bang to the head there. Maybe he's disoriented. Oh, where am I? I'm in Elland Road.
It does seem that maybe his own defenders are his main problem, because from the, as I said, McAllister's just had a good shot. It's been tipped wide for a corner. The corner's taken. Tosfed comes for it and he seems to just run into Chapman is in there, but then there's also a couple of his defence in there as well, and he can't quite get to the ball, and then it ends up dropping to White. And then his shot's blocked, and then Speed manages to twat it in on the follow-up.
Speed's finish, he absolutely drills that. And if you go back to the Wallace one against Everton, where he managed to get it over the head of whoever was on the post, there were four of them on the line. Same story here as well. Man on each post, two in the middle, and he still managed to crash it between them, did Speeder.
And one of those men was Gary Mabbott, taking up a lot of goals.
So effectively five men on the line.
He puts Mabbott in the net as well. I think that's the trick of this, is you can line up with as many players as you want on the posts and on the goal line. But if you just hit the ball at them really hard, they'll just fall over and they'll go in the net and the ball will go in the net and it's a point. You get 1 point. So that's what that's how that works. And then there's a very nice celebration, Speed and goes and running into the arms of David Batty, which is always a nice thing to see. Our two young eagles are sponsored by Barclays.
They jumped, didn't they? They jumped and met.
Yeah, big jump, high five, cuddle.
Beautiful. And I think it was important.
Should get extra points for that. If you do 6.5 or something on the from the judges on the quality of the celebration.
I was going to say it was one of those things where there was almost a mild sense of injustice inside Elland Road because of that silly bounce around. It didn't really go in. And the longer it takes to get back into this game, the more that sense of anxiety creeps in. Because we've got a big crowd, pre-Christmas crowd. It's always big. 31,500 inside Elland Road. Decided not to go to the new shop in the Burton's Arcade, but instead come to the stadium and enjoy the football. We finished the first half really, really strongly as a result of getting our foot back in the game there like that. And we should have had another, shouldn't we, really?
Robert again. Well, Gordon Strachan thought.
Is it another London-based official?
It was, another dodgy offside call against Spurs, wasn't it? So Rod Wallace had it in the net, but the linesman and ref both had, they seemed to call it fairly early. But
Strachan was annoyed.
Strachan was not happy with it.
No, and I trust him more than those officials, don't you?
He's normally such a calm fella.
Gordon Strachan wouldn't lie about an offside.
No.
Give the goal.
Into the second half then, all square at the break. And we did that thing again of coming out strongly out of the blocks in the second half. Another three corners in the first 5 minutes. So there's a bit of momentum building there.
Yeah, White has a shot from a narrow angle that ends up being blocked. And then Sterling bashes one from 30 yards as well. But there's not a great chance in there, even though there's a kind of a weight of pressure. And they still look fairly dangerous with Jury and Walsh. Thankfully, Jury's not actually that good. He just seems to get a fair bit of space.
Not sure Paul Walsh is that good either. He's got nice long hair. That's something.
Although Lukic does save well from Walsh. Maybe he was distracted by his hair flapping round in the winter breeze. We came close to winning it at the end as well. White has a shot cleared off the line.
Wallace hits the bar as well. He manages to sort of loop a header up and over the goalkeeper, but it just comes off the bar.
Cross from Batty though as well, showing his attacking prowess.
He's been shooting in recent weeks, hasn't he? Showing off. Now he's putting crosses in.
It's always good to see a Rod Wallace header as well. A giant in the air, towering over Mabbott.
One of the big takeaways from this as well, because White got booked again. He's only one booking shy away from a 2-game ban, and so is David Batty as well. And with Chris Fairclough out, that would then cause a bit of a problem at the back.
Given all the scum games coming up, we can't afford to be losing.
Well, I'm sure the referees will be ready to brandish the cards, won't they, just in time to make sure those suspensions are served when we need them most. Twat.
I mean, Chris White just gets booked every game, doesn't he? It's kind of by default. You always got to back the booking for Chris White. Batty is always going to be a risk as well, because he loves the tackle, and the referees are blind to just what a good tackler he is.
We've got another potential casualty as well. Dorigo took a bit of a whack, so he's a doubt going forward.
I'm not sure the nature of the injury, but he said it stiffened up and ballooned.
Oh,
so well, got a thigh like Gary Mabbott.
Oh, it was his thigh, thank God for that, etc.
But we'll be, as long as Mike Whitlow's probably been in there. I've not checked on how he's doing for the reserves lately, but I'm sure he's been in exquisite form, so he'll be ready to step in, not a problem.
And we heard from Wilco as well. What did he say in the wake of this?
Well, he was worried that the players, dissatisfied about the players sleeping in. We woke up after the first 15 minutes or so and played very well, produced a game where a 4-3 scoreline would not have been out of place.
Which would have annoyed him, quite frankly, because he's not into that sort of shit, is he? No, but we did stay top in the wake of this. But like you say, you would normally take a point against Spurs, given that we're on a generally overall a good run. But there is that pressure now of trying to hold on to it and trading places for the top. So we did stay top, but they played on the Sunday and they were on the telly. Another televised bloody game. Lee Chapman was in the box for it. You see that?
Yeah, saying nice things about Mark Hughes. You can cut that out.
Not surprised we're moving for a striker. Keep looking at strikers in the market if that sort of nonsense is going on.
Surely there's another Wallace brother we can have.
Well, anyway, the bad news from this is that they beat Chelsea and they won 3-1. So they've gone above us, top, and they've got a game in hand, which is shit.
It's over. Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? We've got a chance to play him soon, haven't we? So we can maybe get it back then.
Well, you've got to keep your eyes on that one, haven't you? And think, because it's the proverbial six-pointer, is that one, isn't it? Results from the weekend, us and Spurs won all. Liverpool beat Forest 2-0, Man City 2-2 with QPR, Oldham 2-2 with Everton, Sheffield United 2, Villa 0. And then that game on Sunday, Chelsea against Man United. The away team won that one 3-1. So Man United are top on 19 games played, 44 points. We've played a game more with 43. That big gap now. Sheffield Wednesday, of all teams, have crept up into third with Man City below them and Villa. So you've got 32 points, 32 and 30. So quite a gap starting to open up now. It's us or them, isn't it? Quite frankly, as we look towards the halfway point of the season. Who would you prefer to win it?
Leeds United.
Yeah?
Yep, so I'd go for.
We've done well. Only one defeat so far in the first half of the season. In 20 games, which is one hell of a record. Maybe one or two of those draws are just biting us, though. You feel we could have turned a couple of those draws into wins, but I guess you just take it, don't you?
Bloody Palace.
And today as well, if that had been, I'm yet to see any evidence that that ball even crossed the line for Tottenham, so I'm feeling quite robbed.
Are you feeling festive yet, though? Nearly Christmas now, isn't it, of course? Looking forward to it.
Oh, massively so. What are you getting?
I don't know. I don't know that. Might get
Transformers, something like that. He-Man figures.
I might be getting, I don't know, maybe an Amiga.
Oh, nice.
Commodore Amiga. And I'll try and save up and get the half meg upgrade. To make it a full meg.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, if you know you've future-proofed yourself if you get the half meg upgrade.
You think so?
Yeah, you're never going to need more than a full meg, are you?
Yeah, fair point.
I don't know why you're going for an Amiga when the, you know, you've got the Game Gear and Game Boy to pick from. You can always take that gaming power around with you.
I've always liked the big typey keyboard thing. It's kind of more my thing than a console.
I suppose the other thing that's selling out all over as well is the Playmobil Victorian dollhouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big popular one this year. Did you get it last year?
Yeah, I got that on my list last year.
You're lucky to be a year ahead on that one, because it's going to be hard to find.
We got an import from China.
When did you get, were you a year ahead on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as well? Because obviously last Christmas, you couldn't find them for love or money. Did you have 1989? Did you stock up?
Well, a bit like the BBC, the Ninja Turtles are too violent, so they're the Hero Turtles to me. Ninja Turtles. Violent, isn't it?
So you don't want a Super Soaker 50 this year?
No.
Okay.
Well, have you brought your Christmas list with you? Is that what you've done?
I was reading the other day, there was an article about what the most popular Christmas presents for Christmas 91 are. So,
well, last chance
that's
to get...
It's Game Gear, Game Boy, Super Soaker 50, Playmobil, Victorian Dollhouse, and Quince Dolls.
Mind
I don't
you
even
that,
know what a Quince Doll is.
That Tetris.
But I want one now.
I've heard about Tetris. We'll keep an eye on that. Well, it's your last chance to get your list off to Santa anyway, because it's nearly Christmas. We've got Forest Away next week, December the 22nd. And that's the last one before Christmas, isn't it? And with Southampton on Boxing Day at Allen Road.
Quince is a fruit. Why would you have a...
Quint.
Quint.
Q-U-I-N-T. They look pretty good, actually. They're tiny.
But you get... Pretty good, actually.
Loads of accessories, and there are loads of fashions in different play sets, but... And you can get sets of teenage doll triplets, which will babysit, the Quints. And then the Quints have their own fashions and...
He's getting the dolls for Christmas, isn't he?
Play sets. Yeah, they're really good. They've been on sale for a while in Italy, where they're known as Bidi Bodi.
Yeah.
But UK and US, they're called the Quints.
Great
stuff. It's the set that's big this year is the Drink and Wet Quints with magic diapers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the ones you get. The set gets three girls and two boys, five working bottles and 10 nappies.
I fancy the Game Boy.
Plus a comb and a storybook.
Great. Well,
it's not Tetris, is it?
No, it's not. Well, good luck with that, Moscow. I hope your parents reward your clear latching onto this as the must-have toy for the Christmas of 1991.
If you get the other set, they have five playful motions. They move in five fun ways.
Is that why they have the diapers?
And it comes with, well, this one doesn't have any diapers. You get five lollipops, five bunnies, and five blankies. But you do also, you still get the comb and storybook. That's pretty standard because you've got to keep the hair straight
and read the story.
Should
we get together at the City Ground next week? Let's leave it there.
I'm going to go have a look at the Argos catalogue, see what else there is.
Right, we'll speak to you in a bit. The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.